4 out of 5 porn stars recommend Jimmy Doan.
Closing main breaker.
And you know what that means, boys and girls.
It's time for the Jimmy
Doan
Show.
Oh, yeah! What that means. That means it's time for the peripatetic review. What does peripatetic mean?
It's something.
Repeating is short intervals.
Okay. This is great. We're back. And we got a good crowd here today. Today is the 9th of March. This is what, a Thursday?
Yep.
Good crowd here today. We've got a bunch of stuff to talk about. It'll be a little rambling, but it'll be a fun show. You do not want to miss this show. And the other thing I want to... Are we going to talk about what people need to go to the website about?
We found a... in the text on the website, we have an actual photograph, actually it's a movie, of the inner workings of Jimmy's brain.
Okay, and there will be a link on the website.
There will be a link, yes.
You have to see
this. Is it like a mental map?
It is a complete functioning.
Yep.
It is not merely a picture.
Right. And I'm going to add one other thing. That anything that you see that's blue represents some kind of a sexual thought by Jimmy.
And believe it or not, it's not all blue.
Hard to believe. Right.
It's not. You have to go and click on this. It'll be great. Anyway, we have EJ with us today.
Nice to see you.
And we're buried in attorneys today. Curtis.
Hey.
We have Tom the Neocon.
Hey.
Otherwise known as Neocon Tom.
Yeah.
Love it. Engineer Eric.
Yep.
And Jimmy. And Jimmy's here. Anyway, we have a bunch of stuff. I want to talk a little bit today about some local stuff that actually does pertain, as you would figure out, it does go nationally as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is we had an election here. And I'm guessing that, let me put it this way. Those of you who are listening, if you don't have elections, you can fast forward to the end of this or go look at that link of Jimmy's brain. But anyway, we had a local election here, and I thought it was fascinating because of the way it turned out. In a way, it was fascinating. It was for the city commission, and we had a east side thing, which was pitted two people against each other that pandered to the east side of town, which is our other side of the tracks type thing. I'm not going to talk about that. But on this side of town, or at large, we had a fellow that should have, a business-type oriented fellow, but he lost. But the interesting part of all this to me was that over 90% of the registered voters in this town did not vote for the winner. Exactly. Over 90% of the registered voters, think about it. I mean, you talk about low turnout. You talk about people.
Not even 90% of the population.
No. 90% of the registered voters. The turnout was 16%. The turnout was 16%
of registered voters.
And it was a 55 to 45 or something like this. Anyway, roughly 9% of the electorate made the winner the winner. And of course, so nothing's going to change around here. It's the same old.
So they pretty much speak for all of us is what you're trying
to say. Yeah, exactly. Right, right. And again, this brings up something. This reinforces something I said so many times. A small vocal minority can control everything if you're the right or the wrong, the case may be. You know, if you're on the right side of that vocal minority, you get to control the whole shooting match. And they're going to do it. And of course, they don't understand why the people that won are, I won't say they're anti-market, but they're agnostic market. They don't know anything about it. And they don't realize the people on our city and county commissions here have zero knowledge of the way the market works. Number one, even though they get pointed out daily, the mistakes and the mistakes and the unintended consequences, when you go to them and you say, well, look, you passed this rule, and yet here's what happened, which was like the opposite. They say, oh, well, we'll fix that. And the way they fix it is to is to tighten up, as they call it. And it's like the Princess Leia thing. You know, what is that saying?
The more you tighten your grip, Lord Vader, the more star systems will slip through your fingers.
But she said it like this.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Give me a break. Exactly.
Jimmy, you know what's interesting about that kind of election where you have 16% of registered voters turn out? If you think of the population where, you know, only half of the people who can vote are actually registered to vote, then you're really talking about, say, 8% of the total population voted.
Right.
And then it only takes half to win.
Right.
So you're talking about 4% of the population of a city are determining who the winners are.
No, let me put it this way. It's even more amazing than that. The population of Gainesville is like 120,000 and like about 2 or 3,000 people determined the outcome of this.
See, now
election.
What we should do is maybe organize voting parties.
You mean like Democrats? I'm going to call one the Democrats.
Wait a minute.
Just think for a second.
And I was going to call them like the Jimmy Doan voting party where we tell you where to vote for, and then we have a big party, and then we bring everybody on a party bus, and then they all get off and they go vote.
And that's an idea. We've heard about that before. Now
we're talking alcohol, I think.
We are talking. Well, also, we're talking babes.
Right.
Yeah, well.
Now, you do know that Las Vegas has rocketed past Williston as the number two.
Really?
Yes.
Viva Las Vegas!
Viva! And I'm only guessing that the show babes have really decided this is a fabulous show.
Wow.
And yeah, no, because you would expect that Gainesville would be number one, obviously. Mm-hmm. Exactly. But, and Williston, you know, the population of Williston is, whatever. And so, and number four is a foreign place.
Williston is the other side of the track.
That's right. That's
so
right.
So what is, what's the number four?
London.
Ah, there you go.
I see.
Gainesville.
Hey, Mick.
It's Mick. It's Mickey Keith.
Is this the Jimmy Doan show?
That's not even a language. It's like some language twins teach each other.
Well, cheerio to London. Then.
Yes, I see. It's
I wonder if that's Michael in his bed. What's your other friend, Alfie?
Alfie, yes, could be. Probably is.
Ali.
Could be.
Ali.
Ali.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. No, we want to say hello. So anyway, we're...
Thanks for spreading the word.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
And if your city was not listed in the top four... You're not doing your job.
That's
man.
Right. That's right.
They're coming after you.
Well, anyway, we have your IP address.
That's
all
right.
We don't
that's
have it. All of them.
Right. We even have a little dot that shows you where you are in the world and the color.
Yeah, unfortunately, the dot is the size of Michigan.
Right.
So it might take a little searching to do that.
Have we got the Jimmy Doan satellite up yet?
No, we're going to talk about that. We did listen to, of course, we did want to mention the Hangar Dogs. Are they the ones that come in on the IP that has .mil at the end? That's got to be
probably.
Them, right?
Yeah.
Okay. The Redmond, Washington still is unknown.
Right. And, that's a little scary.
Yeah. And of course .gov. You know when you see from
Richmond, Virginia, or from Delaware,
not Delaware, but from Alexandria or someplace, mm-hmm. Arlington or something like that. But the dot...
Those are multiplying.
Yeah, that's right. But the dot mill from California, that's got to be Gene or somebody out there.
I guess. Mean Colorado.
Yeah.
Dot mill from Colorado.
That's what I said.
Yeah, yeah. You said California.
I meant... Well, it was close.
You're the same,
they start with the C.
Right.
That's right.
Virtually the same number of syllables.
And so, easy for Jimmy to confuse. Anyway, so the local elections here revolved around, it was about state people trying to control. We're a big student population here, and both of the candidates ran on something against against the students. Only one of the candidates that ran was actually sort of a student person, so she won, and she beat the other guy, but they don't understand about the market, and they were trying to here around. Well, I live close to the university, and one of the big deals here has to do with students living in quote residential areas. And of course, I've been here long enough to watch this university go from 13,000 to over 40,000. And guess what? A lot of students want to live, and they're willing to pay big bucks to live close to the university. Of course, they buy houses. Their dad, you know, rich dad from down south, buys a house. And now they have, instead of turning those areas over to student-type housing, the people that live there are fighting it tooth and nail, and they have now imposed new taxes on us. They have new landlord taxes that are unbelievable, and they have something called the Party Patrol, where they send cops out every weekend to arrest people. If you're making too much noise, you have too many cars on your lawn.
Too much fun.
That's exactly right. You're having too much fun.
Quit smiling, boy.
That's about it.
What are you smiling at?
So anyway, they you know, here, of course, they never have enough money, as you well know, and they decided that they want to pass more and more taxes, and they have a concern for the homeless. That was a big deal here for the homeless people. And that is what I find interesting along the same lines. This came up a little bit during this election. They were talking about what to do about the homeless, and they wanted to eliminate the homeless problem. Now, I know how to eliminate the homeless problem.
You mean like the final solution?
Well, I'll tell you. I would
little
say
white powder, little mad dog,
something.
I guess I better start voting in these elections.
Well, let me tell you the thing that is interesting: that the apparently the downtown plaza, which was built as a beautification, has become the site for the homeless.
Well, I mean, it's beautiful.
Yeah, right. If you happen to if you happen to be a fan of overflowing shopping carts with plastic bags,
right?
And people
live in this gorgeous that used to be. Well, as far as the architecturally, it's beautiful.
Yeah. Just, unfortunately, it's covered with people that
decorated
with people that well, they can't afford to buy their clothes from the Salvation Army.
Right.
So anyway, the thing that they don't understand is okay, let's do something about the homeless. But they have two solutions to the homeless problem. Of course, I'm saying what you do is you get the bus, you drive them to the county line, and you kick them out. I mean, that's the way you then you have no homeless. The other way that they want to do the homeless is they want to give them something they call affordable housing. Now, I got news for you. Affordable housing is called subsidized housing in any other venue. So they want to buy them all a house, for God's sakes, with my money. Mm-hmm. And the question is, would any other homeless people show up here in Gainesville?
If no.
You think?
That would deter all homeless people
think
from
so?
Coming
no,
to Gainesville.
If you buy them all houses, you put them in a nice place, whatever it is, question. And you feed them, and you say you don't, you sort of should go get a job maybe.
How many
maybe.
Of them are there?
There's apparently they have taken a head count, and there's a couple of hundred.
Okay, so a couple of hundred folks, and we could get what can we buy? Like one big hotel.
Well, they've tried. They don't want. Of course, the question is yes.
All you need is one railroad car.
That's right.
Actually, no. We have a few left over from the war. Actually,
we could. You know what we could do? We could have a functioning Holocaust museum.
We'll hire these guys to be extras?
No, I mean,
the reason they can't have jobs is because these homeless people have a hard time concentrating. So why don't we send them to concentrating camp?
this is exactly what we'll do.
We'll pay you right after this. You work first, then you get paid later.
Carry this into the fire.
What? What did it used to say above the camps? Work equals freedom. Work will set you free.
Work will set you free. This is not a problem.
I guarantee you we're going to get several letters from several acts from Washington.
Where's we hope. We've been a little light on our fan mail.
Where's the clanking door that you got here? This is it. This is the... Here's... Here.
No, no. Okay, they're all sealed in there.
But I mean, it's funny because you think about it, if you want to eliminate the homeless problem, there's only two ways to do it. Right. Either you make them not homeless anymore, which would only it's like here's the way we're going to get rid of the flies. We're going to spread all this honey out here, and they'll get stuck to it, and of course, no more flies will show up.
Right.
Or we can put them on the fly paper and throw them out of town. Right. Or we can burn them up with goddamn. We can have a World War II flamethrower exhibit.
I read something in Reader's Digest.
Wait, I got an idea. Okay. I got an idea. You know, they were talking about a mosquito problem. I wonder what would happen if we did mosquito spraying with DDT on the plaza every night.
Well, you said you could eat DDT, though.
That's right. Well, maybe more of them would show up then. That's right. You can eat DDT, right.
Mm. But no, my thing is this. What I've read is that the homeless people, the people who are actually homeless, the few hundred out of the few hundred thousand that live here, are transitory in the sense that they're only temporarily homeless.
Okay.
In other words, you're homeless for a few weeks months, right, and then you got a home again. And then, you know, maybe you recycle through that thing, but you got to figure if anybody goes through that cycle, then there's going to be lots of homeless in any one period, or at least some number of them.
Well, it's interesting because there was an article in today's paper by Margaret Cohn, who's an assistant professor of political science at the University of Florida, which is interesting. And I have to read her book here. It's called The Privatization of Public Space, which brings up another point that I might want to talk about sometime, but I've lost my glasses. Where are my glasses? I've lost my glasses. I can't read. Where am I glad? There. Okay, good. Hold on. Cut that out. But she said that the homeless make other users of downtown uncomfortable, which is true. Mm-hmm. But she said the visible reminder of things we would prefer to forget, like poverty, addiction, and bad luck. Well, okay. I mean, I'm looking at, when you think about the people that are homeless, like, as you said, Curtis, it may be transitory, but for some of them, it's not. And of course, there may be an addiction problem. There may be a bad luck. I would say the bad luck problem is the one that maybe recycles through. Cause, you know, if it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all kind of thing. I guess that at some point in time, that might fix itself. And poverty. Well, of course, poverty. What's the antidote for poverty is working, I think. In other words, if that's all it is, I find it interesting to stand to as you drive around our cloverleafs here, in and out of the different roads. And not only that, you drive out of Walmart or something, and there's somebody standing there, perfectly standing there. So they got two good legs with a sign that says "Feed Me," like that plant in the
Little Shop of Horrors.
Little Shop of Horrors, yeah, "Feed Me" sign. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, if you can stand up and hold the sign, that means your feet are
good.
Well,
a lot of those people are looking for work and such. I know that I defend a lot of people who are in and out of the jail, and when they get out, they've got nothing. They basically give them the clothes on their back, and they drop them off, kick them out at midnight.
Right.
And they cruise down to the
addiction center.
Right, or to the Walmart, and bust out a sign so that they can maybe get a few bucks or something to get onto the next
place.
Well,
except for the fact that I do know that I've seen several people at length, in other words, every day for weeks.
Oh, yeah. I know some homeless people downtown that I've seen.
Those are the ones who give the job at the museum tool.
That's true. This is a transitory
if we
job.
We see you
it's
several
a temp
times.
It's a temp job.
It's a temp. Well,
it's the ultimate in temp job.
Well, that's been my, actually, when people come up to me, I give them my little temp talk spiel. When I was, you know, homeless in L.A., basically, living in a warehouse, and I say, well, listen, you know, you go over there, you daily work, daily pay. You know, yeah, sure, you're going to be busting up concrete curbs and stripping furniture with questionable chemicals and whatever else, but the fact of the matter is you get out of there with a, you know, $60 paycheck that you can go take a shower, you know, and actually clean yourself up and buy some cheap clothes, and then you come back and do the same thing over and over, and by the end of the week, you've actually got a little stash
and
going.
And that's rock and roll.
Stash is right.
Stash is right. Exactly. And then that's exactly how you do it. And then not only that, but I also give them by this time, they're usually running away, so I have to kind of chase them as I'm saying this. But I say, and they also offer free classes at night on computers, so you can actually learn Microsoft, you know, or whatever you need to do. And then, of course, now they're really tearing off down the road, so I'm running out of breath about now, but I'm like, you know, telling you, this is how I escape poverty, you know, and then they're
running, and of course, if they run past the county line, that's one good thing, but if they run fast enough, they can maybe join the Olympic team or something. I mean, you know, they get subsidized.
Or be a courier.
I'll be a courier, that's right. But anyway, she says...
For legal stuff this time.
Yeah, right, exactly, right. Yeah, you could actually carry it in your hands instead of in a little balloon in your stomach.
Or someplace else they stick it.
Yeah, right, whatever. But anyway, she says that cutting support services is certainly not the answer. And, of course, I'm saying, why not? I mean, if you subsidize it, they will. If you build it, they will come. I mean, that's a standard thing. If you provide free
food. Nobody gets that. They just don't understand.
They don't.
If you subsidize something, you get more of it. If you tax something, you get less of it.
Yeah.
It's across the board.
Yeah, everything.
We should tax homelessness.
We said years ago, years ago, that the tax structure ought to be reversed from what it is. That is to say, if you make fewer than $10,000 a year, less than $10,000 a year, you're in the 50% or 60% tax bracket. And as your income rises, your rate decreases, so that if you make more than $1 million a year, your tax rate is like 1%. And that would be an incentive, to get rich. I mean,
man,
it's so
get
obvious
out of this
on its face.
Tax bracket is killing me. I mean, it's 60 grand a year and I'm still paying 30%.
No, I mean, you bust your ass to be a millionaire. Yep. I mean, there's no question. And that would be a nation of millionaires. And the beauty of it is, I was thinking if you made less than about $10,000, I was going to say your tax rate ought to be 100%. Mm-hmm. That way you would either go out of existence, mm-hmm. which is fine, which would also raise the natural level.
Right.
Of things.
We will pay you $10,000 to work at the museum for one day.
This is the Jimmy the Doan Final Solution Show. If you just joined us, it's the Final Solution Show.
If you just joined us, right. So anyway, it seems to me simple enough to take care of that. Okay, I'm done with the local election, I think.
Okay.
And we're done with the locals, apparently.
Well, this dovetails into another issue that when they talk about funding, they just came out with a giant study on methamphetamines.
Really?
Amphetamines, yes. The National Association of Counties and all these states' attorneys from across the nation have banded together in a group appropriately entitled Fight Crime, Invest in Kids.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'll tell you the nexus here.
Okay.
They've decided that more women...
Wait, we have to explain to our readers, our listeners, what a nexus is.
Okay. Well, basically...
No, never mind. Go ahead. I'm kidding.
This has to do with two of Jimmy's famous analogies, which is, one is save the kids. Everything's for the kids.
Everything.
And the other one is the nun whippers analogy.
I'm sorry. Right. Did you mention kids? You know, we have to save them.
We have to save the kids. That's right. And, and that's what this is all about.
They
these
have to
guys.
Work in the museum, ladies.
Children are free.
And so these guys have formed this group, Fight Crime, Invest in Kids. And what they've said is, well, this fights crime, these measures, which are purported to reduce methamphetamine use. And the reason that they help kids is because more women are attracted to methamphetamine, and that puts children at risk.
Okay, now what does this...
What is their exact quote? I swear to God. Hold on, this guy, there's more. This guy's name is William Lockyer, okay? He's the Attorney General for California, Lockyer. Where do you suppose he got that last name from?
He married Heather?
Yeah, no.
Are you
in
the case of Lockner?
No, I'm thinking, you know, it was Harry locks your car, and he locks you in your door. And, right. You know.
Lockyer.
Yeah, so, but he said, this is literally what he said about this program. Let me back up a bit. There is right now in place some funding for specialized drug task forces. And one of them that's specialized is methamphetamine task force.
Right.
And they're
federal.
Yes. Well, okay. No, state. State.
Okay,
level.
State. Okay.
And what they're claiming is that there's now a methamphetamine epidemic.
Right.
Okay, which is doing four things to our poor nation here. Number one, it's crowding hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, it's causing domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, it's fueling identity theft.
Okay.
And number four, it is causing property crimes.
Okay.
Okay, and then, no, there is number five, it causes acute pedophilia. No, I'm kidding. But the bottom line, these other ones are a joke, too. If you think about it, it's crowding the hospitals. Ha! If you check the statistics, nobody goes to the hospitals for taking these drugs. It is such a small percentage of people who actually go to the hospital because of the drug use. And methamphetamine is like the last one on the list behind marijuana,
cocaine.
Alcohol, cocaine. All that stuff is higher in terms of people showing up at the ER for pain and suffering.
And actually, they would, if you were, think about it, as somebody, I can tell you, and I have no qualms about this, I took methamphetamines in college because they were legal, I mean, more or less.
Yeah, they
were totally legal.
They sold them in Texas over the counter until the 70s.
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, I was in college in the 60s, so I mean, you could go down and get your Black Beauties or whatever the hell they were, something, I forget what exactly, the Escitrol was the name of the drug that I took back then. I lived with a pharmacy major, so that was cool. So anyway, the bottom line is that the only problem was the downer part. In other words, you wouldn't go into the hospital while you're up. It's only and the paranoia, you know, only occurs after about 30 or 60 days of this stuff, I can tell you. And that's what I heard. And in my
talking about me?
Yeah, you talking about me?
What I heard firsthand.
No, but I mean, I can't imagine that you'd ever go to the hospital for that.
No,
I can't imagine.
The worst thing that they've said about taking these things and going to the hospital is that it looks like some other type of drug. That if you take that drug and you mix it with like alcohol, then you can get sick. In other words, taking this thing doesn't do anything wrong.
No.
Merck invented this stuff in the 30s for marital relations. Okay? That's what it was used for.
Well, yeah. Curtis, that's good for kids. I mean, I don't understand, Curtis. Are you against kids?
Apparently I am. It you think about this, they say it fuels identity theft. Like what? It makes you want to go out and be somebody else or something?
Yeah, that's right. Maybe.
After a week, you look at yourself in the mirror and go, I look like crap. I'd much rather be fill in the blank.
Well, this falls in the same category, believe it or not, as so many of the other drugs like OxyContin and things like that. It costs nothing to make the drug except that they've made it illegal.
Right.
And, I mean, literally, they were, back in the 70s, I think the drug, it was like a nickel a pop.
Yeah.
It lasts 24 hours. Hello? I mean, even with inflation, and actually with the new technology, I can't imagine that those things would be more than a nickel each.
They're not.
And if they were, quote, legal, and they made a problem where there is no problem because they made it illegal.
And that covers the fourth one about the property crimes.
Yeah, exactly.
The only reason there's property crimes.
If those pills are $200 a piece, you're going to have some car break-ins.
Exactly.
But if they're a nickel a piece, as somebody once said, it does happen maybe in New York City, but most places you don't find the 7-Eleven or the Eckerd's or the CVS broken into for a carton of cigarettes.
Right.
You can go, as expensive as they are, hello? You're not holding people up on the street for the goddamn things.
Get your cigarettes or your life.
Exactly.
Well, Jimmy, do you think that maybe like the one lonely benefit of all this making substances like that illegal is that by making it illegal, in a sense, you really guarantee that you privatize the market?
No. The only reason that it's illegal is to empower government, people who want to be in control. The only reason you have a law like that is because people in government want more power. There's no other reason. That is
they're
exactly
scared
what
of it, man.
No, they are.
But
they
would you agree though that it's a privatized market though, from this, because the government can't be dealing.
Well, it's like it is like. Let me tell you, there are. I have a matrix of four things, and one is called it's the matrix of exchanges. You've got two kind. You've got either voluntary or involuntary exchanges. And you've got legal and illegal exchanges. That makes a box with four squares in it. The black market, think about it for a second, okay? So if you have an illegal but voluntary exchange, that's called the black market, mm-hmm. which is actually...
Like selling weed or something.
Right. Okay. That's the black market. Yeah, anything. That's an illegal but voluntary exchange. Yes. Now you can have an illegal and involuntary exchange. That's when somebody comes up on the street with a mask and a gun and says, give me your money. Okay. Then you can have a voluntary and legal exchange, and that's like you would go over here to Burdine's or Macy's or something and buy a shirt. Voluntary, legal. Then you can have a involuntary and legal exchange, and that's taxes. Hmm. Involuntary but legal. Okay, that's taxes. Or something.
So the black market is free, it's voluntary, but you don't want that to be the controlling factor. You want it to be...
You want to move as much stuff as you can, obviously, into the sphere where both parties say thank you. And that's the voluntary and legal exchange.
Yeah.
So you want to move as much stuff... Think about it. Government, remember now, government is the overhead of society. And in any business... You want your overhead to be as small as possible. And this is normal. If you're in a manager, if you're in the car business, whatever business you're in, you want, you got to have a secretary, you got to have a bookkeeper, okay, yada, yada, yada. But if your entire business is eaten up with overhead, if you're, if 90% of your thing is spent in overhead and you're not, that is inefficient.
Then the state is supreme.
So that's right. So the point is, government is the overhead for society. And for obvious reasons, it should be obvious, you want the government, the overhead of what we do to be as small as possible. So you want them out of voluntary exchanges, or you want to transfer as much stuff as you can to the voluntary sector. But unfortunately, as has been explained very nicely in Parkinson's Law, a book written in the mid-50s, governments always expand. And unfortunately, they're the ones that have the legal guns. So when all is said and done, if they pass some stupid law until you get it to the Supreme Court, they can show up on your front doorstep and say your money or your life. Whereas, Bill Gates, quote, monopoly, unquote, cannot. I mean, it's just that simple. Monopolies, think about it for a second. A monopoly, what is bad about a monopoly? What do we know about monopolies that's bad? It's what is it? What is it?
Is that they, you can't end them or you can't get in?
If you corner the market in such a way.
If you corner the market, okay. Then, and why would you, if you were a monopolist, why would you want a monopoly?
Because you control everything.
Let me put it this way. What are the, if you're in economics 101, what is a major characteristic of a monopoly? It's outside the market. That is, you can raise the price of your product with impunity. Yeah. You can do it with impunity. You can and what's the other major characteristic of a monopoly that sort of follows from that? And that is, since you're not subject to the market of your product, you can be inefficient, and you can raise the price to cover the inefficiency. And because you have no competition, you're not forced to be efficient. So there are two things about a monopoly that are important. Number one, you're price independent and you're inefficient. Now ask yourself about the school system, for instance.
No, you just described the government.
I know, but my point is this. People were talking about Bill Gates, for instance, as being a monopoly. They hauled him in front of Congress and they chastised.
Oh, you should see what the EU's been doing to
the EU, same way. And here's the government with guys with the guns hauling this guy. But Bill Gates has never showed up on my front doorstep, nor anybody even representing him showed up on my doorstep and said, even though I happen to own a copy, and said, you must buy Windows or we're going to take your house away. But if I choose not to send my kids to school, for any reason, if I choose to even send them to the wrong school, they can show up on my front doorstep and say, no, it doesn't work that way. And they have the blue lights and the badges and the dogs and everything. And they will take the kids away and me away. So the difference is.
We don't need no stinking budget.
So you have to ask yourself, what is it about a again, when you talk about monopolies, about there is no such thing as a voluntary monopoly. Bill Gates, whether you like it or not, he may have 90% of the operating system, but it's not a monopoly. I mean, you can call what you want, but he cannot charge whatever. If he was to charge $10,000 for each copy of Windows, I mean, I love my Macintosh, and I'll tell you, everybody would be buying Macintoshes or something else, or Linux or whatever the hell it is tomorrow morning. I mean, he is subject to the marketplace. But you look at the school system here, for instance, they're not subject. And our city electric thing, unfortunately, because it's owned by the city, they have spent, I guess, the last year trying to figure out what they're going to do about a new power plant. They haven't figured it out because they're so inefficient. They can charge pretty much whatever they want. Cable company is another one. Cable company is not exactly a monopoly. It's a franchise. We only have one cable company here, but at least you can, if you have to, get direct TV and that sort of thing.
That technology will change internet stuff.
I mean, technology will change a lot of things. But you talk about the inefficiencies. One of the things, AT&T, for instance, was a government-sponsored monopoly for years.
They're coming back.
Well, I know that. That's something else again. We can talk about that. But the thing about it, from 1870s until the 1980s, for 100 years, AT&T basically had what amounted to the same phones. I mean, there was some technological advance, and they went from operators to dialing. But, I mean, I remember growing up and having to actually call the operator and say, look, I'd like to call my mother-in-law in California. My cousin in California, and they'd say, well, 3 o'clock, we'll call you back and we'll have you hitched up to California. And this is in the 50s.
Is that where that song, Hello Operator, give me number 9?
Exactly. In fact, when I grew up in Washington, D.C., and you could dial 4 digits to get to somebody else's phone, and it would ring.
Jimmy, how many miles did you have to walk to school in the snow?
Uphill both ways. Okay. Actually, believe it or not, I went to a government-run, subsidized educational indoctrination facility, and they had a bus that came and picked me up, actually, right in front of my house.
Horse-drawn?
Huh?
Horse-drawn bus?
No. No, it was, however...
A steam engine.
No.
Come on.
It did have a crank in the front. And
the driver.
That was, yes. Until the 80s, until the beginning of the 80s when they broke up AT&T, if you wanted to hitch up to the phone line, it was big money. I mean, I remember doing this, trying to hitch up a modem to the phone line. It was like they charge you a fortune to come out and do all this stuff. And that was the inefficiencies were there because it was essentially government-sponsored monopoly, the phone system was. And I had a point here that I was going to make, and I lost it.
We were talking about the methamphetamine report.
But this is the thing that disappoints me. Let me just interject here about this methamphetamine report, and then you can continue. Don't lose your train of thought. The thing that upsets me most is a libertarian. The first thing that anybody says when you tell them you're a libertarian is say, oh, you want to legalize drugs and prostitution.
Well, yeah, and what's your freaking point?
Yeah.
And that's just for starters.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where do you see what I want to do to you?
Yes, we have a temporary job for you.
No. It's the permanent temporary job.
That's right. Say goodbye to mama. Okay, go ahead, Curtis.
you didn't finish your point, but that's okay.
I'm saying that this is a perfect case that the methamphetamines were legal, should be legal,
right?
In this particular, and it scares some people.
Listen
to
what they say. If we'll make these cuts, if we make these cuts, this is what the Attorney General says will happen. You condemn, this is an exact quote, you condemn another generation to addiction, violence, and crime.
Woohoo! The party begins here!
Let me ask you this question. How come it is so, not only is it legal, but apparently it's de rigueur, apparently it is the solution of choice to give kids Ritalin as soon as they come into elementary school. Literally. I mean, if the kid is even remotely...
Well, that's because they've taken away PE, and these, especially the young boys, they don't get a chance to run around during the day. I mean, I heard there was some jurisdiction, some school district somewhere that was going to make... they were going to end the practice of kids playing tag. I'm not making this up.
No, I know
that. We heard that.
We heard that.
Get rid of tag.
Right. No, because... Yeah, so, no, but my
because
point is...
Why? They just sit there, and they can't control themselves because they don't get any exercise.
I understand that part, but the thing is, here they're saying this horrible methamphetamine, and yet they in fact, not only is Ritalin legal, it is forced. That's the point.
In the courtroom, when the judge is pointing his finger at the kid, saying, "Oh, you're going to take your medicine, or you're going back to jail."
Can you imagine? I mean, is
I
there?
I keep asking to do that for me, but no.
Can I ask you about the word hypocrisy? Can I ask you about this? Is there? Are we here someplace? That, am I missing something?
Hey, well, look. Once we got around the idea that you own your own body. And then that's really the core of the idea.
Of course you do.
That's your property, and therefore you have to maintain it, and that includes what you ingest.
Right.
It includes everything you ingest, and it's your responsibility, and it's not the government's responsibility. It's not an issue of anything except for property.
It is the same kind of thing. It reminds me of some of those movies when you see the terrorist is holding somebody hostage, and they're holding a gun to the hostage's head, for instance, and then they're looking at the good guy who's on the other side of the room, and he says, it will be your fault if I kill this girl. You know, I mean, I'm going like, whoa, hello, who's got the gun? Who's got the trigger? Who's got the hot? You know, and they do that. But I mean, this is a common theme, and this is what happens when they set up the social security system or the hospitals or the emergency rooms, and they say, well, the emergency rooms will be flooded because why? It's a federal law that says if you show up, they got to take care of you. If the law wasn't there, it wouldn't be a problem. It is amazing to me, it is astounding to me how often they create the problem and the solution to the problem is another problem. And it happens all the time and nobody sees it.
Well, this one, hopefully, I don't know, hopefully somebody will see that this is just propaganda to get this money, basically, to support these task forces. These people's jobs are at stake, and they're non-whippers, and they need to
their
go...
Their jobs are at stake, and that's exactly right. And that's right. And they let me tell you, if you ask them, I was watching Channel 12 here.
They're the non-whippers.
That's right.
Bring in the nuns.
That's right. I was watching the Channel 12 here, our local state of the county, by one of our commissioners, and it was all good. I mean, they had an interview. This, talk about softball interviews. They have a guy from the government interviewing one of the commissioners and, well, what do you think you're doing as far as this is? Well, we're doing a really good job. You know, we've got this in. Well, no, I mean, really, and I watched it for a while. No, I mean, here's how bad it is. I'm going to drop back here to something they did locally. We passed a tax. Did we talk about choices last week?
Yeah, we did talk about the choices.
Choices.
It's come up again. It's been a lot in the newspaper. The choices program here was where they raised $9 million with a 0.25% increase in the sales tax.
Right.
And it was, you gave a party and nobody came. You know, 72 people signed up.
And it was for health care for people.
Health care for the working poor.
Right.
They had identified 14,000 people that would qualify for this.
Right.
And so they said a 0.25% sales tax increase will take care of it. They raised $9 million. 72 people showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And of course,
what if they did it for poorly working people?
Now they've expanded it. They're trying to expand it
to people that make, you know, $28,000. You know, I mean, who knows what?
That's their solution.
That's their solution is to make it. And I told them that they should expand it to, you know, people in their mid-60s that are sort of retired and have a podcast.
Right.
And happy to sign up.
How convenient.
Yeah, how convenient. Right. And I said, I can guarantee you one more person will sign up.
Yeah.
Guarantee.
Make a bigger impact on your percentages.
And here's the deal. My health care costs could probably eat up most of that $9 million that's there. I'm thinking, no, I mean, I got some serious health problems that could be cured by a villa down in the Caribbean.
Right.
No, I mean, really. No, I'm talking about... I could be cured very quickly with a really nice sand. I would say a villa overlooking a beachfront on a smallish. That would be a large island. Smallish island. In the USVA, the USVI.
Otherwise, you're going to continue to be emotionally disturbed.
Exactly. I'm telling you. And I could chew up that $9 million right tomorrow.
Right.
And it would be. And let me tell you, I would actually invite some other like-minded and like-sick souls. People that are sick like me. say the people in this room.
I think it's contagious. I'm feeling
a
little.
Yeah, feeling a little. Yeah, I know.
I think we need to go to any on the rise with Bank Mamas.
Let me tell you something else.
Meets leprechaun.
I am saying this, that people in this room who are getting older will qualify.
Okay, good. Excellent.
So this is good. So anyway, the point is that the letter writers have written incorrectly, very correctly, and said, whoa, you've spent, you know, you're spending all the money that you've collected so far.
On administration.
On administration, right. Yeah. On advertising for people. And they're not showing up.
Right.
And
drop it.
Drop it. Right. And drop it. And the question is, here's the question.
Don't forget the legal fees.
Well, they haven't got too many of those yet, but they hired somebody to administer this thing. They've been putting it in the paper. Nobody's showing up. So the question I ask is this, is the following. Will the program be disbanded?
No.
Class? Class? Anyone?
Double down.
Anyone? Bueller?
Anyone? Anyone? Yeah. And the answer is no! I wouldn't be a bit surprised to see him double the tax.
Yeah, 50 double. Years, it'll be the
oh,
some
my God.
Huge
it's,
institute.
That's it'll take more money.
Well, it is endemic, of course. It's absolutely the same thing has happened with the Medicare program. Anybody will tell you, that the Medicare program is going to bankrupt this country. It's going, they already know it. Everybody knows. There are 535 people in Washington, D.C., that is all 100 senators, 435 in the House that know that in 20 years, and they don't care because they got their pension, obviously. Mm-hmm. And so they know that the Medicare, forget Social Security, which got $7 trillion.
They just don't want, no one wants to touch that issue.
I understand that, but it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And we all know that. As I say, fortunately, I am going to apply for the $9
million. Right.
And I'm thinking that this show will probably be podcast from an island as long as we have
internet connection.
No, it's no problem. I'm not proud.
All right, so we got what else is going on?
The Supreme Court upheld a ruling this week about allowing military presence over the objection of colleges onto college campuses.
Okay, military recruitment.
So I don't understand. So why is this even remotely important?
This is important. The only reason I wanted to mention is the following reason: the colleges are objecting to the military presence.
It wasn't the colleges. I don't think. I think it was the law professors at the colleges.
Okay, well, whatever. Representative from the university.
But I think it was going to apply potentially to universities at large if they got the ruling they wanted.
I'm interested in is the fact, is the reason why the Supreme Court upheld this ruling, which basically said that the military people can go on campus.
Oh, right.
But the important reason why I bring this up, the only reason why I bring this up is because of the reason why they were objecting to the military being there.
It's because of the don't ask, don't think gay thing.
Exactly. Don't ask, don't tell is the policy now. And here's, I just want to make one quick comment. All I want to say is, I find it hard to believe that they came up with this policy to begin with, and here's why. These guys,
who are they?
The Clinton administration. Or? Clinton administration came up with "Don't ask, don't tell."
Okay, fine, okay.
And
no, we're not homosexual, but we are willing to learn.
So they send us someplace special.
That's good.
The reason they came up with it is because they were afraid that it was going to make the soldiers uncomfortable. Okay. Now, here are your soldiers. They're at war. Okay. There's flaming bodies. There's bullets whizzing by.
Body pieces.
Do we really think they're concerned about whether or not the guy sleeping next to them is like? I just can't believe that they're worried about the guy next to him being, I'm a little uncomfortable from, you know. It's not the flaming bodies or the bullets or anything.
It's the flaming queen.
Right.
Sergeant Jones, specialist,
flaming loafers.
Specialist Jimmy just said he was a little on the pretty side. I'm a little uncomfortable.
He's a little light in military boot.
Can we send him to point guard, please?
Send him up front. I just can't believe it. I mean, in my opinion, I mean, if you're homophobic, you're too cowardly to be in the military. You know
well,
what I mean?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. The ruling, of course, was unanimous. 8-0.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting that the primary people who filed this thing were attorneys, I think. A bunch of attorneys from law schools.
Yeah.
A bunch of law professors.
Yeah, a bunch of law professors. And shows you, maybe we should have them on the Supreme Court.
Maybe we should have him on the front line.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, I mean,
it's a temporary job.
Do me a favor. Go collect that ammunition up there flying this way, huh?
Well, flying this way. My take being... Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I don't care. I mean, my thing was is that did we actually state the exact problem or did I miss something? I'll edit this out if I did miss it, so... Did we actually state
the state? The deal was that these universities.
Oh, the issue?
The issue was that the universities were prohibiting the military recruiter people, the Coast Guard, Army, Navy people,
right,
were coming in and recruiting on campus. You know, setting up a booth.
This is for one campus?
No, this is nationwide. It was a lot of campuses.
It would have affected
so
nationwide.
A lot of campuses decided.
They said was, what the Solomon Amendment, and if Curtis, if I could take this part of it. What the Solomon said is that if universities want to receive federal money, then, as part of what they have to do, they have to allow military recruiters access to their campus to interview students for possible military jobs. So the law schools, the law professors who are bringing this case were saying that somehow violated the
freedom of speech,
on the part of the university because it was infringing on their ability to control their kind of speech they wanted to have. And I guess John Roberts probably said it best when he said something to the effect of, you know, well, you're really interested in the speech about not having the military on campus, but not to the tune of losing – you know, X number of millions of dollars.
Yeah, and he says he made it crystal clear. He says you can turn the money down.
Yeah,
you don't have to take the money. No problem. And of course, this brings up the old thing: he who has the gold makes the rules. That's real simple. Anybody knows that.
All right. So what was the final decision on this?
Well, they have to let the recruiters on campus.
Yeah, they have to let them on now
if they want to continue the government money.
If you want the money, right?
Right. Okay.
Which they would never turn their nose up at.
Right. The thing that gets me is, I mean,
principles go. You notice how quickly the principle goes out the window.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She's talking about the money.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Money. Oh, no. In that case, come on, recruiter people. money. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Jimmy, do you think that the political aspect of it, though, is really just kind of this hardcore academic left that exists on campuses?
Yeah.
That just they just really don't like the military.
Okay, let me think about this for a second. Let me ponder this.
Pushed out, Larry Summers and all that from Harvard.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
No, it's unbelievable. No, let me tell you,
people have never even heard of the market.
Again, remember where the professors came from. I grew up with these guys. I can tell you, these people got up to about 1969 and plateaued in their learning and that's it exactly. They just plateaued and they're still living.
Well, they became teachers.
They became teachers and they got tenure and it's an incestuous relationship. They're with their same kind and it's nothing you would and they are products of the state run indoctrination facilities. Look, and it's getting worse. I mean, look at the SAT scores. Look at everything you can think of. Just about it's. I mean, we're outsourcing our intelligence for God's sakes in this country, and they don't understand it. Think about it. The brain power is being outsourced to China and India and every place else.
Bye-bye.
You know, forget the manufacturing jobs. It is like future. What is it? Futurama.
Right.
You know, we are putting the brains into a pot.
It's called brain porting.
That's it. So, God bless. And so, anyway, I want my 9 mil. I'm going to the island. I'm going to outsource my body to the island down there. I'm going to outsource my body down to Antigua.
I wanted to mention real quick. Yeah, I wanted to mention the Bush's push for the line on a veto.
And never happened.
You don't think so?
No.
My thought was that it would be better served. I mean, I'm not necessarily too keen on the line on a veto because I don't want them to like edit out a line like the word no or something. You have the president shall pass no law, and he edits out no.
Yeah, right.
I mean, how, or something.
I got a fresh update on that. When Jimmy wants to hear it, on that.
I do.
Go ahead. Well, I was going to say that the latest, and I just got this just before the show started. Is that what Bush is looking to do, trying to do, because this already went once before the Supreme Court, and they shot it down under Clinton. They went the line on veto, they passed something, and the Supreme Court shot it down. So this is the second attempt.
That's right.
What they're going to try to do is to kind of make it so that what the president will be able to do is to like try to propose something for a veto. It goes back, this particular item will go back to Congress, and then they can vote on it. To take it out.
Oh, it's look. All of this is rearranging the decks on the chairs on the Titanic deck. I'm telling you, this is not anything that is going to happen, and it's not going to make any difference.
Over here.
Yeah, no. I'm telling you, this is not going to make a whit's worth of difference one way. They're going to tie it up, and I'll tell you, as I've always said, any legislation more than two or three paragraphs is rife with mischief.
Well, that's what my thought on this whole thing should be. That if we're going to do one thing about those bills, is that it should be the single subject rule.
I agree with you that. And of course, what I find interesting, then of course the courts step in again and declare what constitutes a single subject. And sometimes, I find you gotta have that though.
Somebody's gotta be the judge. And then of course the judge has to be the judge.
Exactly. And of course sometimes
judges the judge?
Exactly. And
the
I'll
other
tell
judges.
You that, right. And sometimes I know this comes as a shock, but sometimes judges make mistakes.
No,
it's hard to believe.
That's not what I heard.
I understand that, and
I heard under those dresses they wear nothing, and that's exactly right.
Well, no, what is it? What was that one, the Monty Python where they came out of the I just took my little cabinet. It was always so cute. Did you see the prosecutor?
So the single subject rule. That's what I'd like to see out of that whole.
Okay, rearrange the chairs.
Yeah,
I'm serious. It's not going to make a damn bit of none of it. And the same thing with the McCain-Feingold. You know, we're in tight. Now they're going to pass the ethics. People have suddenly got a conscience. Ha ha. And they're going to pass this thing up here in Tallahassee. It says you can't even buy them a sandwich.
Right.
The lobby, bullshit. I mean, give me a break. Money, I'm going to tell you a rule. Money finds a way. I don't care who you are. Money finds a way. Duke Cunningham, you know, he's honest about it. But I'll tell you, there are, I know this comes as a shock to some people, but there are some dishonest, some of the people in government actually are dishonest.
What?
And they will, no, I know you, it's hard to believe, but they are. And they're going to find a way to get the money. It's just that simple. Money finds a way. So
long as it's going through D.C., that's for sure.
Well, and Tallahassee, same way, even to some extent locally. Go ahead. What's next?
Big question is, where's mine?
if you are a working person and making below, you know, more than less than 150% of the thing, you get your health care for down here.
Well, where do I sign up just to get like a big fat check? Is that
there's two places. One is you can. What's
the new museum.
Three places. I'll just donate my body to science.
And you'll be doing it.
You can take 1,000 for each eyeball.
I wonder if Matthew Lesman made any money off that big question mark thing. Remember that ad he used to run about how to make money? He made his money telling other people how to make money.
The crazy guy?
Yeah.
With the question mark? I made $1 million. You can too. Right. All you got to do is buy my book for $1 million.
I bet he did.
And retired.
His commercials looked pretty damn well produced.
Yeah, but I mean, he...
You sell a kidney.
But I wonder if he's down on one of the islands with his money. I mean, it's where I'd be.
And one less kidney.
Go ahead, what's next?
I don't have any more serious subjects unless anybody else has any.
Not me.
You have a Mideast update, EJ?
Mideast update. It's on fire. Yeah, Mideast is on fire. It's about to be a civil war. It's going to spread.
Come on, baby. Come on, dance, buddy. Yeah!
Wasn't there some kind of a kidnapping or something?
Oh, there was just a small little issue that came up in a office in downtown
this
Baghdad.
This is the final solution show, isn't it?
Yeah, right. we had a few guys run into a little office in downtown Baghdad and kidnap 50 people.
Were they dressed up like security guards?
They were dressed up like Iraqi cops.
Yeah.
But the cool thing about it was a security office, security for hire.
Oh, really?
And they took them all. Yeah, so much for their security. And they got the owner of the company, too, so talk about ironic.
Unbelievable.
I think it works.
So that's like the city police rounding up all the security guards at the mall or something like that?
Well, something.
It's like the SS rounding up the SA.
Exactly. Yeah, it's more like the mall people rounding up the police. And then, of course, who are the police going to use for security?
What's that?
I was wondering who the security people hire for security.
Whack and Hut.
What's
Whack and Hut?
Whack and Hut's a big
security. Whack and Hut security.
Yeah, they're big.
That's what you do on the weekends.
They're nationwide.
Okay.
Grandpa used to work for them.
Yeah. Okay.
After he left the FBI.
Okay.
I will say this.
After he left the dress-wearing Hoover Institution.
I saw a clip from the Iraqi Constitution. Do you realize they have been guaranteed everything? I mean, health care, clean environment, job.
They don't understand what Constitution is for. And I'll tell you, I'm going down to Costa Rica next week for a month, and I'll have to phone in.
You can have a job at the new Saddam Hussein Museum.
That's right. Yeah. It's a temp job. No.
Execution every day guaranteed.
That's what's wrong with the Costa Rican Constitution is that they guarantee, you know, things like health care, which, of course, you can't. I mean, look, rights are, I hate to say this, and with the deference to Stefan Molyneux up in Canada, the rights are guaranteed, are genetically inherited. Let me put it that way. They're genetic. You have a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And nobody can really take that. They can take away the happiness part, but they can't take away the right to it. And they can take away your life, but they can't take away the right to life because that's what we do. But healthcare, when a right is guaranteed by somebody else's non-right, that is to say, if you impinge on somebody else's work or money or wealth in order to get your right, their property rights, right, which is their body, basically.
Right.
If you're going to do that, that doesn't qualify. And once you enshrine that in the Constitution, you made a mistake. You screwed up.
They have blown it.
That's right. And that's where it's going to fail. And that is why.
There's no chance that Constitution can be enforced as law.
That's right. If you have a systemic error in the Constitution, you're doomed. And it's bad enough with ours, which was done correctly to a large extent, but it's taken 200 years to kick enough holes in it so that we have freedom of speech, except you can't do this and you can do that.
Except we can shoot you.
Yeah, that's right. and you have, you know, the right to bear arms is
your two arms.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. You can take off your jacket.
That's right. And I mean, on and on. And they've punched holes in it and it's getting worse and worse. But I mean, it took them 200 years to do it. But if you start off by saying, you can only have a 1.9 mil with your Barney Fife bullet in your pocket, and that's all you can have.
Right.
Then
you know, already got a hole in
their
levy.
Yeah, that's, so you're already doomed.
Got a hole in the levy. Yeah. There's a hole in the levy.
Dear Liza.
But I and also we did want. Okay, on the way getting ready to leave out of here. Let me just mention a few things.
I got a few light notes.
Okay, go ahead. Well, I mean, okay, good.
Go ahead.
Okay, well, I wanted to mention. Hangar Dogs, of course, is our favorite, one of our favorite podcasts.
Absolutely.
And, of course, that's H-A-N-G-A-R, mm-hmm. Dogs. And we invite our listeners to go there. Also, don't forget the real serious theoretical libertarian podcast is a one-man show by...
The guy who you're secretly getting paid from.
Yeah, I wish. Stefan Molyneux up in Canada at freedomain.com.
Cool.
And anyway, so... But it's one of the things we wanted to do, of course, we talked a little bit about it in this, and I think Hangar Dogs mentioned, is our satellite.
Right.
And they seem to think we're not serious, I think. Is that
well,
right?
No, I mean, they were questioning, I think, how we proposed to get it up
there. Well, they're satellite engineers.
Did you see
engineers?
Yeah, they're satellite engineers. Yeah, I saw their... Well, that was the
Russian, the Ruski space golfer.
Right, the
now,
Ruski
think about
space
it.
Here, golfer.
Here's this guy who's good. If all goes well, and NASA... You know, the prime agency and building and so forth of running the ISS, International Space Station. Here's this guy. He's going to take a golf ball that's got a transmitter on it, and he's going to whack it. And it's supposed to stay up for a couple of years, I think, in low orbit or mid orbit or whatever the hell it is. And I'm wondering, you know, the golf, that's all basically we're talking about here is...
World's smallest satellite.
Well, but we wanted to put the Rolling Stones on there. I mean, that was the whole point from day one. We've talked about this for 10 years now. And we're looking for a launch vehicle. Turns out there are launch vehicles that are supposed to come online. What is it, $250,000 for 10 pounds or something?
For 10 kilograms, they're talking about a promotional special of $225,000 because the actual launch, I think, for that vehicle is like $1 million. But again, that's stuff that we were going to talk to, you know, large and Dangerous Rocket Society about and you know, see about
but
those
I mean,
people.
This is not at all.
We don't need a 10-kilogram satellite.
No,
that's 25 pounds.
If Rocket Boom can get $40,000 for a 30-second ad for 1 week mm-hmm. on eBay,
right?
And I'm saying that if we found the launch vehicle, we stick that baby on eBay and say you get a 10 ounces.
Well, again, like here's the other. The reason why they would do that is that we're going to put together a, you know, what would you say, a 5-watt transmitter with a polymer battery, so it doesn't weigh anything, you know,
right.
Super space age expensive batteries, and you know, solar charge them up, and we're going to have like 3 dedicated channels for the Jimmy Jones Show, 1 ROM, you know, and then 2 RAM that we can upload to,
right.
And then like, you know, 96 other channels that people around the world can tap into,
right.
And actually upload to the satellite, so they can actually it's an open source satellite,
right.
That people can upload their stuff to,
right.
And you know, they come to our Jimmy Dunn website,
yes.
And they do this. So I figured what we do is co-op with the Hangar Dogs. We'd give them, you know, they'd have three channels of us. We give away 94 channels people can upload to, and then we develop a little software so that people can track it and, you know, launch it up there. And like you said, sell off the ads to the people, you know, who want to be famous, because boy, you're going to be famous real quick when you throw up your own first.
Well, you know,
if that guy sells,
remember that guy that sold the million pixels?
Right.
I mean, and I mean, there were people on there that would buy like, you know, $50 worth of pixels,
mm-hmm.
and their website hits went from 10 to 10,000,
right.
In a week,
right.
And I mean,
Ruski golfer. So this guy's going to smack a golf ball. Now, his is the funny part. You know, of course, we all know that Alan Shepard did his two. He smacked 2 golf balls in 1971, and again, with 1/6 of the Earth's gravity and no atmosphere, you know, his comment was it went for miles and miles and miles.
Right.
He got a good apparently a decent crack at the second one.
Now, you know what would be what do you suppose that golf ball would be worth?
Yeah. I know there's all kinds of stuff. If we go up there and get it and bring it back, would be.
Man.
Are you kidding me? I'd love to. Well, like we talked about, the Chinese are going to go up there and bring it back. All here's your American flag. We got red flag up there now. We put it on your landing site. Mm-hmm. We covered over Neil Armstrong footprint.
That's right.
We put a sticker made in China on your blue buggy.
Yeah, we brought a battery. We drove around and wrecked it. We drive it like a golf cart.
We found your golf ball.
We brought that back too. We sell it on eBay. So
you want to fight back?
Too bad. So this guy's gonna actually get outside the space station, this Russian, and he's gonna be in a spacesuit, you know, pressurized spacesuit.
Try to
hit this ball. Now, you know, again, as the golfers are going to say, you know, I mean, it's tough to hit it right even without a spacesuit on. So this guy, the funny part was is that the result, if he slices it or something, he'd land in the same orbital plane as the ISS, and the ball whizzes around the planet and smack the ISS.
At 35,000 miles an hour.
That would be an expensive drive. So he's going world record drive.
Incoming!
Yeah, right. I mean, no, he'd go through the station. You know.
Incoming every, minutes?
It wouldn't either, because think about it. It would only be at the velocity that it was hit. Which would be like 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, probably.
And
but if they were traveling,
no,
14,000 miles.
In the same orbit, it'll be the same.
Well, if he hits it,
it doesn't accelerate.
Well, the friction will slow it down.
That's true.
It won't pick up speed when it drops down toward the atmosphere.
Yeah, right. But then it won't be in the same orbit as
It won't be in the same orbit. That's the whole thing. You know, orbital mechanics. He's got.
And the chances of it actually coming around in exactly the same orbit are zero.
Right. Well, he should do the Bugs Bunny thing and smack it backward, and then that way it'll come around and you can kind of catch it in the.
Oh, with all the travel stamps all over.
The other thing to do is to get a pretty good sized telescope and take this golf ball and see if you could hit somebody on the Earth.
You try for the world's longest hole in one.
Yeah, that's right.
Like you aim for the Augusta Country Club
number 8. St. Andrews, number 9. Okay. You do Norden bomb site. See if you can dial it in. Right.
Norden bomb site.
Of course, the kinetic energy on that thing hitting the Earth, if it actually made it through, would be like a nuclear vessel.
Do you think? Yeah. I mean, as this thing's coming down, it's about 9,000 degrees. Of course, it's already vapor, and comes through the 9th hole. St. Andrews, it plummets to the center of the Earth.
It pop out the other side. We find it in China.
Find it again.
That's exactly right. What's next?
This is kind of cool. Some people are taking the sleeping pill Ambien. Have you heard of that?
Yeah. What, falling asleep or something?
Sleep driving?
Yeah, they're sleep driving. They sleepwalking. They actually get out to their car and then they're driving around and they have no idea. They get like woken up like in some zombie-esque state driving around.
By the cops. Yeah, right.
That sounds
like to me. And that Ambien, then the Ambien. Did you know that Ambien smells like whiskey?
Tastes just like whiskey.
When you mix it with saliva, it's amazing how it...
It just transforms into whiskey.
And when you mix it with whiskey, it's even better.
Yeah,
that's right. Can I mention a great tip when you're charged for next DUI on the Jimmy Don Show, or should we save that?
Go for it.
Well, there's a
don't take the breathalyzer test.
Yeah, that's the tip right there.
Jimmy says don't
take the breathalyzer.
Well, what you do is the one defense that we've heard that actually has been successful is you just had all that alcohol, so it showed up, but you weren't actually drunk yet.
Yeah, well, the way you do that is you let the police officer come up to your window.
Right. And you drink then.
Right.
Right. You lock your door, and you drink it down, and you,
right in front
and
of
you crack the seal on it.
Right.
Right. Right, yeah. In front of him. Yep.
If you're ever in an accident, run immediately to your nearest bar and drink, so they won't be able to tell that you were drunk afterwards as opposed to before.
All right.
Good tip. Thank you so much for that, and we're safe on the roads now.
Yes, okay.
Thank you, Neocon Tom.
So let me ask you this. How high, this is the world's toughest coffee cup competition. How high do you think you could actually drop a coffee cup before it would shatter onto pavement?
100 feet.
Really?
What are you talking about?
It's students, and they make up these tough coffee mugs, and they drop them.
This is not the egg drop, is it? You know, the egg drop, but you're allowed to package it in something.
Well, you're allowed to, like, design this thing, but there's a few rules. That it has to
make
be
mine out of steel.
Okay, it has to be made solely of... No. It has to be made solely of ceramics, have a handle, and be fired to a minimum temperature of 572 degrees Fahrenheit, and you have to be able to drink out of it to prove that it's not toxic. I can imagine that. Coffee mug works, but if you drink out of it, you're dead in 2 minutes,
It's the toughest
silicon arsenide, right?
Well, do you get to perform this taste test after or before you win?
You have to do it right before you drop the mug.
Oh.
So, and it cannot leak after it gets done. But as far as the design is concerned, you're pretty much, on your own.
Does the person drinking it before you drop it have to be human?
Yes.
Okay.
So,
you said person.
Person. But how high do you think that's going to be made out of ceramic?
Got 20 feet.
Well, 12 is the record.
12?
Yeah.
I can't believe that even makes it 12.
It's pretty amazing.
I can't believe it's more than 3, actually. 3 feet would just...
Yeah, University of Missouri Rolla left a dent in the pavement, and they did theirs. Now, they...
Of course, you said it fired to a minimum of what?
572 degrees Fahrenheit.
This was probably fired to 6,000 degrees.
Probably. Well, I can tell you.
And when you say ceramic, there's lots of different kinds of ceramic.
I'm going to tell you about this ceramic.
This is the chromium titanium ceramic.
Yeah, this is something
non-metallic.
This is unobtainium, as the hangar dog would say.
Unobtainium.
Okay, the deal is that the team made the Hardy winning mugs out of aluminum oxide and zirconium oxide. Zirconium in another form, cubic zirconia, looks like diamonds, of course. Aluminum oxide makes a sturdy artificial hip. And
but don't tell my wife.
Zirconium oxide in the mug makes the aluminum oxide tougher to crack. So basically that's why they did it. And other people put a false bottom in there, which they were allowed to do, so that could actually, you know, shatter and kind of break the fall.
But okay, and this is important for what reason?
Well, because we were coming up with some Jimmy Doan coffee mugs, and we figured when we make people pissed off enough and they throw this thing, we want to make sure, you know, it doesn't just shatter. We wanted to prove that the Jimmy Doan show is indestructible. No, I don't know. I have no idea why it came
I was thinking about making it absolutely turn into some razor sharp shards. So as soon as it hit the wall, everything within about 8 right. feet would die.
No, what you do is we fill the interior of it with a white powder. So when it shatters, it's, you know, like an anthrax scare. And then we get on national news.
Oh, that's good. Or cocaine.
And then we get on international news.
That's it.
Either way.
Yeah, man, somebody's like, hey, was that George Brent? Navy plans flying submarine. They're gonna
wait. That's kind of an oxymoron. But go ahead.
Well, actually, what it is probably like a one-man submarine.
James Bond.
Exactly.
Out of a plane.
It is James Bondy.
It's a supermarine.
Yeah.
It's James Bondage.
It's called the Cormorant.
That was a nice touch with the turning.
Cormorant. What a great name for a... Yeah.
You remember when his car turned in the sub and he had the turning signal, like, by the reef? I thought that was...
Spy level.
So anyway, yeah, what they're going to do is this thing is going to be put down inside of a Trident missile tube in some Ohio class submarines. They're going to test them out, and they basically
Is that the University of Ohio or
no?
What?
They don't launch it out. They have a hand that actually an arm that kind of brings it up, and then the thing floats to the surface, and then it has like a rocket engine takeoff, flies around, and then it sinks back to 150 feet.
Did you say a big hand reaches in and throws it out?
Yeah, pretty much.
God,
that's right.
See, I knew the existence. We can prove the existence of God right now.
I got a picture of it. They've got folding wings.
Is that the flying spaghetti monster God? Or?
Yeah, pretty much. But it's
Wow.
It has to have its foldable wings because it
looks like an origami goose.
I know it does. It looks pretty freaky, but it has to fit inside the.
Whoa,
the,
that looks like a kite.
The missile body.
The tubes in the Ohio class sub are as long as a tractor trailer, but they are only 7 feet wide. So this thing, of course, has to have expanding wings. So
amazing,
kind of freaky looking.
I'd rather they launch it out of the Trident. I think that'd be more fun.
Toilet paper brawl lands maids in hospital jail. These two maids from a Siesta Motor Lodge in North Charleston armed themselves with a plunger and a mop after accusing each other of taking toilet paper from each other's cleaning carts.
And they went to jail for this?
Delora Smith, 47, is charged with assault and battery of a high and aggravated nature. A magistrate set her bail Friday at $5,000. Apparently, there's a 52-year-old maid was wounded in the scuffle.
God!
She was plunged.
And, yeah, she was plunged
to death.
Grabbed a mop, hit her on the arm.
This sounds like an Olympic sport to me. I see something coming on the horizon here for Olympic sports.
This is the summer version of curling, right?
Yeah, plunging.
I mean, I've never heard of that. That's pretty maids getting
up. But, I mean, can you imagine? I mean, this is not a jail thing, it seems. What do you... People, you know, the police constabulary people obviously have too much time on their hands if they're arresting people for this kind of
stuff. North Charleston. Okay, so I've got a...
We do want to remember to tell people about the website, the link that will be on the Jimmy Doan website that has a picture of the brain.
The Jimmy's brain working.
That's right. Pinky and the Brain. Remember that show?
What are you kidding me? Pinky and the Brain was the best show in the world because, like, almost every single theme that they try to take over the world involves some kind of hypnosis.
Well, there was that, and of course, the other one that just disappeared from the
that was a Steven Spielberg production, too. By the way,
is that right?
Believe it or not.
Well, Duckman, of course, has disappeared from the Comic Channel, which upsets me a lot. And the other one that is
Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah, Ren and Stimpy. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was a Dutch thing, I think. That was done by
Mr. Voiceover for Ren and Stimpy was down at MegaCon.
Yes, and we missed that. That was like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
I forgot about it. I mean, I forgot. I meant to go.
Okay. Heard it was great, too. Anyway, I've got some robotic stuff, so...
Thank you.
Yep. So, anyway, The Robo Roach. Have you seen that one?
I saw that. I mean, that looks like a fake thing, something.
It's not. But anyway, they've actually wired into this roach. They cut off its antennae, and they nest carbon dioxide, and its wings and its antennae are removed. EJ just saw the picture of the roach. Anyway, they wire this particular electronics into its brain, and they can actually make it turn left, right, run forward, or back. And they have it outfitted with a little tiny camera. And so, who knows?
This is the new. This is the new spy thing, I guess.
Yeah, in Japanese.
But I mean, this is what you can, you know, send this into the Hamas house or whatever, or something like that. You know,
it can go anywhere.
Right.
I mean, you're not limited by
until it dies.
You could maybe have a little robotic food dispenser.
That's
on it,
true.
You know,
and you could have some robotic food.
Right.
That would just kind of scamper out
and
there.
And if they tried to poison it, maybe you could put a little robotic, a little gas mask on it, like a little scuba tank, you know? Yeah,
there you go. Perfect.
You know, they have the Robo-Rat already. That was the one that they have a rat where you could steer left and right. They implanted sensors where the whiskers come in.
Huh.
And they just had a little tiny electrical charge, and it makes the rat go left or right, and they were steering it around. And they figured the cool part for that was they could actually tie a internet cable on its tail, and it could, like, wire your house. If you know, for pre-wires and stuff.
Right.
Rather than punching holes in your wall, you just let the rat go. You know, just get a little...
Why don't you just let it in there and put a piece of cheese at the other end or something? And...
Yeah, that might work, too. Yeah,
you might need a little extra cable.
Not quite as much fun. You know, they actually did that with humans, too. They had these little sensors behind your ear. They put these little tiny...
brain port.
These little some brain port. Some kind of little device, and basically they could upset your balance. And so they were steering this girl all over the football field by a joystick. Because it would, like, make her feel like she was falling one way, so she'd try to catch her balance, and then they'd go back the other way.
Oh, my
pretty
God.
Funny.
What's called, I mean, what, you could just do that with, you know, $2 worth of whiskey and do the same thing. I don't
yeah, but this is more predictable.
Okay.
I mean, the behavior would look about the same, but...
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, another robotic thing. robotic bartender pours drinks and listens to you, I guess. And it's pretty cool. T-Rot. Anyway, it's got these particular hands that it can. The hands on it are so well developed that it can. It knows if it's going to shake your hand to only squeeze it so much. If it's going to open a bottle, it needs to put down a lot more force or pull a top off of a beer or something. And then it's. It can actually pick up an egg, so it's pretty cool. And it can recognize different people.
And it pulls a gun out if you try to rob it.
Right. Yeah. And it knows where the fridge is and. You know, I don't know. It's pretty cool.
Maybe you could hack into it if it knows where the cash register is. You could hack into it and have it walk out the door with the loot.
That's why I bring these things, because you come up with these great ideas.
Well, speaking of robots, I think it's supposed to be in the Sharper Image catalog here in the next month or so. They've got the one now that's designed by, I think, the same people, the Disney people that did the animatronics, and they've got a bust. It's a bust and a head of a monkey, of an ape or a chimpanzee
right.
or something. Have
mm-hmm.
you seen that?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be absolutely lifelike.
Right.
It's got motion sensors and a voice and everything else, and apparently it just sits there, and when you walk by it, it literally, like a real live monkey, it says, hi, what are you doing here? It has a...
like a real live monkey.
Like a real live... Yeah.
Like a real monkey would.
It's exactly the same way, just like...
Sony's got a robot dog, right? Mm-hmm. Sony with the...
No, they've had the dog and the... I've also got the... You can. It's in the Sharper Image catalog. Mm-hmm. They got the little dinosaur or something,
yeah,
raptor or whatever.
This
is supposed to be the new... This is the latest, newest, the new
monkey.
Is, apparently.
I've seen it. It was in Nuts and Bolts magazine.
Oh, is that what? Okay. That's
there was some confusion as to whether or not the money was the monkey's or...
You have to look out, you stupid idiot.
What? That's ridiculous.
He was blind.
He was blind.
Oh, that was such a classic Clouseau.
You dropped your wallet.
So, bartenders, watch out. Okay, last thing I've got is that, as you're mentioning, yes, this ties in, of course, with Age of the Spiritual Machines.
Right.
Or Age of the Spiritual Machines by Ray Kurzweil, which, as he's predicted... many things. If you have not read that book or listened to the tape series, I strongly recommend you go to Amazon.
The tape seriously is the best thing to do, because it's
really
about
good.
2 hours, and the book can be a little heavy.
Yeah, but it's a tape. I bought them first cheap, is like $2.50 on Amazon.
Right. No, I've got. Yeah, you can get them cheap enough.
Yeah. But you give them out to your friends as mandatory listening. So.
Well, again, and let me tell you, if you're going to figure out what you're going to spend for somebody for Christmas, this is something that'd be valuable. And you're talking about including shipping. It's like $6 or $7.
Right.
I mean,
it's a life changing tape.
Yeah,
life
changing. Tape series. It's like, is it two? It's two tapes, right?
Yep.
About 2 hours worth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it's there. Yeah.
Is it as profound as Dianetics?
Yeah, is it? Yeah, okay.
It is. It would be just like that if you were like a low protein gruel eating Scientologist with Dianetics. Yeah, that's about how it was to me. But it's, you know, it's actually important stuff. I mean, people don't realize what's actually coming down the pipe. And he's, and again, this tape series was recorded in 1998, so it's almost 10 years old. And everything's coming true to his predictions.
Oh,
and
yes.
he predicted 10 years before Garry Kasparov.
Kasparov
beat Deep Blue beat Garry Kasparov. He predicted that within a month, like 8 years before it was going to happen or something. So anyway, it's a great stuff. So anyway, this is the new thing they've got. Go to realdoll.com, and they have these incredible looking dolls that they are now animating, and these are basic like mannequins, really good looking. Now these are purely, I believe, for sex. And, in fact, you know what? There was this other company that said that...
Get all your shopping needs met on the Jimmy Dojo.
Yeah, there's only... Actually, this is funny. There's only one male model, and his name's Charlie. You don't suppose that's a model after Charlie Sheen, do you?
Yeah.
It looks like Charlie. That's funny. But anyway... Of course, women would be like, oh, I've already slept with him. Maybe not a good move to do that one. But the fact is that they predicted... British Telecom predicted that the first... legal divorce would take place between 2008 and 2012 by having a virtual relationship.
Say again?
It was predicted that...
A divorce
over... In other words, the trauma was caused by a virtual relationship.
Oh, okay. So in other words, the live people would divorce because one of the partners was involved in a virtual relationship.
That's right.
Okay.
And again, like...
One of these
he
dolls. Cheated on me because of...
Right. He got one of these dolls.
And again, right. Like, well, the thing is that one of these dolls is going to be able to be plugged into the internet and will be robotically activated, like our bartender over there, and that you can plug into a virtual sex world or something, so you could have somebody else wearing, you know, a bodysuit controlling your doll from wherever you want in the world. And again,
and you don't suppose that these would be like Christina Aguilera and you know, Britney Spears and stuff like that,
the actual humans doing it?
No, but I mean the surrogates.
They'll be
oh my god, of course.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, they're gonna
just
have
wanna make sure.
Mean,
I just want to make sure.
Well,
I want to make sure we're on the same page here.
Four, five.
It seems what you have to worry about is a hacker coming up with some kind of a homicide.
Oh, you're doing it.
A homicidal virus.
And, oh, that's great.
Are you telling me that hacker is the operative word here?
I mean, that is all.
It's called funny. This is the hacker. This is the Lorena Bobbitt model hacker.
Lorena Bobbitt model. Well, the you got to go to realdoll.com because they are pretty amazing looking. As far I didn't, you know, you
would, these are not, pretty impressed.
The beauty of it is very impressed.
Well, I know, but the beauty of it is, of course, the other thing is that this could be part of my health plan.
Yes.
But the other thing is, it was $15,000 for the basic, you know.
No, these are only $6,500 for the.
I saw a $15,000 one on there that was some kind of just the torso or something. Kit. It was like a kit. Anyway, maybe that's the wrong one. But the other the nice thing about technology is this stuff all comes down to price.
Absolutely.
For the masses, this will be the Volksfemale.
The Volksfemale.
That's right.
And it was just amazing because on Futurama on Monday night, they actually had this exact thing where Fry downloaded Lucy Liu into a blank robot and fell in love with her, and then everybody's getting all set because he's dating this robot. And so they said, well, he hasn't seen this movie, and the movie was about how Earth ended up getting destroyed because all the males were dating these robots and nobody was having any babies anymore. You know?
Oh, that's right. Is this when you have the whistling of the wind come across the as your we don't have a whistling wind.
No, but I do have a great quote from Bender.
When will man learn that all races are equally inferior to robots?
That's good.
There we go.
Actually, your lifelike dolls over there, they did something on them on Real Sex 12 or something on HBO some years ago.
I don't get
them, and they had the guys. They actually had the guys who owned them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, just like you.
Yeah, you can order your, you know, face, hair color, eye color, all kinds of hair color, all everything. It's a pretty good website, though, realdoll.com.
I'm just going to have to say, those dolls have to be really good, I mean, to take
the place. Well, they're only going to get better.
For you, maybe. For you, young studly person.
Although my eyes like book dude.
As you
have a Uhura model.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, it can be actually an alien. You think about it for a second, you know.
How about the red
planet Alfura. She turned me on.
She has 12 orifices.
It'd be like from Total Recall, you know, three breaths. How many do you want, honey? Take all you want, mama. Okay, that's
anybody
good.
Got anything else?
I'm done.
All right.
We need to get out of here. All right, good show, good show. Thank you for Neil Gantan coming in. Yeah. And Curtis.
Hey, yeah.
And Legal Advice. Good EJ.
Hey, always glad to see you guys.
Good with your Phoebe hat.
Oh, well, you
FBI.
Know.
FBI, love it.
It's just for service, that's all. Get good that's service when I'm out and about.
So don't forget to leave us something on some kind of...
Are we... Well, yeah, we got a phone call from Sexy Susie Q in Tampa, and she said she's been listening to the Jimmy Dunn show. And it brings up a point, because she was one of the people that I actually went over and you can do this to your friends. You can sign them up while she's at work. You can go ahead and you can sign them up to subscribe to the Jimmy Dunn Show. It helps them out because then they don't have to go and mess with all that stuff.
That's true.
And if you're giving out an iPod, what, you don't want to give them to an empty. It's like giving somebody an empty box. You know, sign up your friends for the Jimmy Dunn Show so they got something to listen to when they open up their iPod.
That's right.
I think it's a critical
And we are good for children, too, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, children above the age of 20.
Or anybody who makes less than $10,000.
That's it. That's right. That's right.
Well, perfect for female children above the age of 20. And below the age of 23.
That's right. We want them. That's right. We're gonna have a baby-rama here sometime. All right. Well, thank you, guys. We'll talk to you later. Signing out. Bye-bye.
Spread the word by making CDs for your friends of the Jimmy Dunn Show.